Hello, and welcome to the Reach or Miss Show, the podcast for the customer-focused entrepreneur, where Hayut Yogev speaks with entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs about reaching or missing the critical point of approaching the right customer with the right message at the right time and place, the point where business success starts. And here is your host, Hayut Yogev.
Episode 22. Elizabeth Shirley is the co-founder and president of Influencer, the product discovery and reviews platform that enables socially savvy consumers to find new products and get advice to make informed purchases. With a community of over 4 million members, these digital influencers have written over 18 million reviews on over 2 million products, spreading the word all over the social media networks. Originally from Anderson, LA, Elizabeth received her BA in marketing from the W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University. Elizabeth Shirley, such an honor to have you here with us.
Thank you so much. I'm really excited to be here.
I just shared your bio and what you've done until now with our audience, and I would like to ask you to share with us what are you doing and most passionate about today, and where are you heading?
Yeah, definitely. So I try to think about, you know, my personal life and my professional life as I'm growing the company, which is not always easy. So, you know, as far as work, we're working on global expansion, which is really exciting for Influencer. We started in the US around 7 years ago, and then we launched in Canada. We just opened in the UK, and now we're working on the Middle East, which is really exciting because it's a completely new market for us, uncharted territory. So that is on my radar. And then as far as personal life, I think it's important as an entrepreneur to kind of turn off your brain from your business.
Sure.
Which is challenging. So in order to make sure that I do that, my strategy has been to book these dance workshops because I love dance. So I just finished up a jazz one. And then I did ballet before that. And I'm thinking of doing tap dancing next. So
we'll wow. See. And are you performing or just doing it for fun?
No, it's for fun. I'm definitely in the absolute beginner classes. So. But it's difficult because, you know, it's a lot of choreography, so it forces you to think in a different way. And it's also, like, fun and challenging physically. So I think it just gives you kind of a fresh perspective when you're coming back to the office.
I really admire you for that. I'm really dreaming of coming back to the piano, and I didn't really. Not yet.
That's on my list, too, but I feel like that'll take me a while to learn.
And where are you heading? Do you have long-term plans?
Yeah, so Influencer is really focused on being that place that everybody goes to when you're thinking about buying a product. So we have around 18 million product reviews on our site, almost like a TripAdvisor for products. So we have a lot of awareness with brands these days, which is exciting, and kind of product junkies who are searching for reviews. But, you know, we really want to expand that part of our business to grow our reviews so everyone really thinks of Influencer when they're about to buy a product.
That's the goal. That's where you want to go.
Yes. And so I kind of think about it like we want to be a TripAdvisor meets Facebook for products. So your destination for reviews and social networking attached to that.
And can you tell what is needed to be there?
Yeah. So the way that we've made money traditionally has been through a lot of brand partnerships where like brands pay us to run campaigns to market their products to members of our community. So that's where we've really built our staff around. And now we're working on building a user engagement squad that's really going to be focused on the user experience on Influencer and encouraging more activity. We obviously have a lot of dev work to do. Will take a while. So yeah, we're in the planning stages of all that right now, just doing our research on, you know, how we want people to follow each other and what type of experience we want them to have. So it's really exciting.
It's such a great idea. Can you tell us a bit about the company, about the idea. How did you manage to bring it alive?
Yeah, so we concepted the idea probably 8-9 years ago, and I was working at another startup for a long time, like over 5 years. And what I did was work for a fashion events company, and my role was to sell in brands to these events, both for sponsorship and also to get their products in the gift bags that we distributed. So I knew a lot about product sampling. I learned a tremendous amount in sales and just working at a startup that had like 10 people when I first arrived to having around 50, you know, when I was thinking about the idea. I felt like I learned the ropes of the business in a way, just, you know, being in a small environment where you have to learn and do everything. And then I felt like I had learned all that I could there really after 5 years. And I was really itching to do something on my own. And at the same time, I met my current business partner, and he was working at a more traditional market research firm. And he found that a lot of the studies they were doing were really costly and took months and months and inefficient. So we were talking because I kept hearing from my clients who put products in the gift bags that they wanted more data on people. You know, besides knowing that they're women and they're going to a fashion event, do you have other demographic information on them? Do they buy the products afterwards? Like, what's happening? You know, why am I doing this? And so we thought we could really modernize market research. We thought, let's create an online platform where we get a lot of data about people and we send them products that match their lifestyle. You know, brands would reach people who actually make sense for the product, and then our members would give feedback to the brands. So we thought we would do this really quickly. We'd make it fun for people. And so we just tested it out, and we have had a response rate of over like 90% in the survey, which is crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, because normally it's like 10%. So
what kind of survey did you do? Face-to-face or?
It was all online. So, I mean, we didn't have any money really. So out of our own pocket, we built like a very simple, like 3-page website. When I look at it now, it's really funny that anyone signed up for it because it looked pretty amateur hour. But yeah, people signed up and we made them answer a really long survey to even be a member. So again, surprising that they shared so much about themselves, but it was long. It was probably almost 100 questions about where do you shop for this? What brand do you use? Like, you know, what are your beauty routines? So that was like the first phase. And then once we sent out a product, we just sent them another survey digitally online. So my partner luckily knew how to analyze all the data. So we shared that with the brands and they liked it. So that's really how Influencer was born.
Wow. And who are your customers today? Please tell us the story about understanding who should you focus on. Is that the first customers from the beginning? Did you have to make any shift with the customers?
Yeah. So when I think about Influencer, we're a little unique because I think we have two sets of customers. So we have our user base, our members, who actually are the people, you know, who sign up, they're writing the reviews, they're testing products. So we call them influencers. And then we have our other set of customers, which are our clients and our brands. So we really serve, you know, two audiences with everything that we're doing. And we're basically like the liaison between them. So, you know, in terms of knowing who the customers were from a brand perspective, you know, I had worked with consumer packaged goods companies like beauty, food, health prior. And that's really what this business was focused on when we built it was, hey, there's a need for these type of companies. So I'm going to build this service that I know that they want based on, you know, talking to them and my research. So I don't think that has changed. That focus has always been there. If anything, when we started, you know, it's really hard to get in the door of like a P&G or a L'Oreal. So, you know, if anything, some of the companies we started on were a little bit smaller. But then, you know, when you think about our other customer base, like our actual influencer member, we knew it was focused on people who like products, you know, are kind of the beauty junkie, likes to try everything new, wants to share an opinion. 7 years ago, influencer marketing was really new, but we saw people posting on social without being asked. So once they had a product that we had sent out, they would brag about it on Instagram or Facebook or YouTube. So we just thought, hey, this should be a part of our offering. This is great. You know, it's a way for brands to get that buzz going. So then looking at people's social media scores or how many friends and followers they have did become a part of our customer base for sure. But I will say, you know, one thing we really wanted to focus on was like not paying people. So even from the beginning, it was all about like authenticity, and that still holds true to today. So, you know, a little involvement there, but I think in the beginning, we had a good idea of who we were looking for.
It sounds great because you started with the research. You started with looking who your customers are, which is quite rare in the world of startup marketing. I wanted to ask you, what is your best advice for their customer approach and focus? Because most of the startups that fail say that the number one reason was there was no market need.
Yeah. So, I mean, from my perspective, I think that there's a few different perspectives I have. And the first one is like when I'm thinking about my customers as the clients and the brands. The biggest thing that we did that helped us succeed by far was this give-get approach. So I really found it difficult and heard a lot of no's at first from some of these larger beauty brands to try our services because it was something new. We didn't have a lot of proven history. And like I said, the space was relatively new as well. So it was a new concept. They didn't have budgets for it. So I thought, I'm just going to give you the opportunity to try it for free with the understanding that you're going to let me present to you the results and go over like, you know, the benefits that you've had and hopefully that would lead to a longer term relationship. So we had confidence in our product. We were really targeted with who we gave this free opportunity to. So companies with budgets and brands that made sense. So, you know, that really helped us a lot, like in establishing relationships with large corporations that have turned into really strong partners over the years. And I would say my other piece of advice is just listening. So you should listen, like we listen to our brands. A lot of services that we offer are based off of just hearing what brands are trying to achieve. It's not only me selling them something, it's really learning about their goals and then understanding if there's a way that I can build something into Influencer that would help them achieve those. So, you know, we used to just send out products and then I learned, oh, brands are trying to drive people to events or in store or, you know, do different activities online. So we created services around that. And then, you know, even listening to our members, we used to just have product review pages for products that were featured in boxes, which was pretty limited. Okay. And now, after listening to them, they wanted to talk to each other all the time, not just wait around for a box. So we created this huge database of products where people can come and talk about anything and share. And, you know, that's ended up being like a really strong area of our business. That's a huge opportunity for growth.
What is your biggest, most critical failure with customers? The one that affected your entrepreneurial journey the most? Can you tell us about this?
Yeah. I mean, there were definitely failures. I think that you have to try new things in order to succeed. I mean, one that happened early that was just really stressful because we were really small and it's kind of funny. We had worked really hard to give these free trials and then we won actual paid business from a huge consumer packaged good company. And it happened to be like a large dish soap. So we were sending out thousands of these like 20 ounce dish soaps. And you know, we were really excited. We had everything together and we started sending them and we saw on social media, you know, before the client even saw that some of these packages were like exploding and leaving suds everywhere on people's dishes and doorsteps and everything. So it was completely like out of our control at that point. You know, we were kind of freaking out. What do we do? And this was a client who wasn't necessarily following that closely. I knew, but you know, what I learned, what I did was, you know, we have to be proactive versus reactive. I went to them immediately and said like, hey, you know, we have a portion of these that are exploding. But we, you know, we're going to send out 500 more. And, you know, I think just coming with the problem, coming with the solution and being honest and upfront really helped the relationship. We ended up doing a lot more with them. But like that was a scary incident where, you know, we were at fault. But instead of trying to hide it, I just thought, let's be upfront and honest and get it out there. And it ended up being like a practice that we have today.
I want to ask you, actually, you are really talking about honest opinions. What happened if the opinions are not as good as were expected?
Yeah, so we don't tell people what to say. People are free to like something, not like something. And that's made clear with all the brands. You know, when we're doing client partnerships, I always tell brands that you should have some level of confidence in your product. Definitely targeting is a part of what we do. So if someone is battling acne, like then we should send them an acne product. If someone's not, they're probably not going to like it. So
sure.
That's where we come in. But beyond that, if we send an acne product to someone who battles acne and they don't like it, you know, they're definitely free to share their own opinion, both publicly and in the survey. But I know a lot of clients, like they're looking for that honest feedback. I have a hair client that makes hair masks. And she said that after she saw all the feedback from women who had tested it, that she actually changed the formulation to be more moisturizing. And then she wanted to send it out again. So, you know, I think brands actually want this and appreciate people sharing their honest feedback.
Wow, so actually you created a win-win situation.
Yes. I mean, at the time, they might not be happy about it, but
sure.
Improving the product. I mean, look, people are sharing what they think and it's all out there. So if you can be a part of the conversation and address people's concerns, I think you're always going to come out on top.
That's right. And what is your biggest success? Tell us the story of your greatest, most significant success as a result of the right customer focus or something you did right about approaching your customers.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing that made an impact in our business was really listening to brands early on. So we're not funded at the beginning and everything was coming out of our pocket. So at first, you know, we created the service, we tested it, we knew brands liked it. But then when we tried to actually sell it, we saw that some brands still weren't biting. And it really took a lot of, you know, research and questioning to find out why. And we figured that, you know, this had to go big or go home. So we were doing like 200 boxes and we realized in order for like a P&G, L'Oreal, Unilever to buy into it, it had to be thousands of people, which seemed really daunting at the time because, again, we were funding it. And even if you sell in one product to a box, it's almost like an airline where, you know, it's taking off regardless. So we thought we might be on the hook for like thousands and thousands of dollars and we're really stressed out. But our decision to really, we called it the holiday box. And this was a program that went from like 250 people to 5,000. And once it was 5,000, then all of a sudden we started getting email opens and responses and, you know, they wanted to participate. And I mean, that was that single decision. I think if we wouldn't have done it, Influencer probably would have closed its doors because we just weren't making money because we weren't scaling enough. So, you know, that's something to think about too.
Wow, it's a beautiful story. Can you recommend the best, most effective technological or digital tool that related to customer focus marketing of sales that you use in Influencer or you yourself?
Yeah, so we have used several tools throughout the years. And I mean, there's a lot out there. And I would say if you're just starting out, be careful about what you're purchasing because some of these things are not necessary. Like, you know, we have around 70 employees and we use Salesforce, but when we were just starting out or, you know, 10 people, we didn't invest in that. And I didn't think it was necessarily a must. But one thing that we always did that I found extremely helpful and a time saver was subscribing to some of these contact lists. So, I mean, you have to know your own base, but for us, it's consumer packaged goods companies and, you know, large scale corporations. And there's companies like one called The List that we're using now, where it's a database and you can type in any brand and it gives you their email address and information. And, you know, you still have to do a little research after that to verify on LinkedIn and so forth. But it at least gives you a starting point where you can know like the proper direction and people that you should be pitching. So I think when you're smaller, something like that is really important. But I mean, other tools that I have found to be really helpful for our business is even using Slack. So, you know, things get chaotic with different projects and, you know, there's so many emails back and forth. And since my company implemented that, it's really helped us get organized.
Is there any service provider, like a mentor, consultant, advertiser, that had a major impact of your customer success and can help other entrepreneurs as well?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't do a ton of advertising in the beginning. We really focused our efforts into having people be our advertisers. So one thing that I say is to have a strong referral program, because Influencer really, I mean, we're over 3 million people now, and we have spent minimal money on advertising for acquisition, just because we have always had really strong referral programs like Tell a Friend. We create contests around it. We call them like Friend Flurry or, you know, different ones throughout the year. But to really energize people who are already passionate about your brand and getting them to share it with their friends, I think has been extremely powerful for us. But then, you know, when we were starting out, we definitely used local resources. Like, you know, you can check where you live, but here in New York, it was funny because I just tried to go to my bank and get a loan, and they thought, "Are you crazy, lady? You need to go like talk." So we went to like a small business service that was part of Baruch College, where we had an advisor, and it was actually free. I mean, to my shock, but it was really helpful just to talk to someone to get organized. So those are a few of my tips.
Usually there are many things that affect success, and I want to ask you, what is the one thing that affected most of your success? What is your key success factor until now?
Yeah, so I think personally the key to my own success has been learning to sell, and I would tell everyone that's the biggest skill you could have. I used to be pretty shy and I didn't know what I wanted to do in my career. Like when I first started working at that startup I mentioned, and then I kind of got forced into doing sales. So I was really scared and kind of mad at first. But then it really forced me to get into a zone where I was really uncomfortable, and I just tried it. You know, I had to present in front of people. I had to call people. I had to, you know, try to get their attention and sell something. And I think if you can do that, you can sell anything. And I think as an entrepreneur, you're constantly selling yourself, even if you're not, you know, doing sales, quote unquote, at your company. But talking to an investor, you know, talking to a new partner, even getting employees, like you need to be able to communicate clearly like the benefits of your company. And I think if you have confidence through doing sales, then you could definitely win.
Before we say goodbye, I would like to ask you for your last piece of guidance to our listeners, and then I would like to know what is the best way to contact you. But what is your last piece of guidance?
Yeah, so, I mean, I know there's a lot of tips out there for entrepreneurs, and we're constantly reading up on what we're supposed to be doing, but I always tell people just really to take a step back and enjoy the ride, honestly, because like when you're starting out, you're kind of thinking, oh, when I get here, it's going to be perfect. Or when I get here, it's going to be perfect. And like, it's never perfect. I think that things get easier as you get bigger, but then like new challenges arise. Like, you know, there's always that pressure to keep building and learning and innovating, and that never goes away. Also as teams grow, you know, that becomes challenging, and figuring out structures. But I think that we get caught up, and I think also we can feel lonely sometimes, where, you know, there's days that you think everything is terrible, or you're not where you want to be, or in the next day you might feel great. So I always tell myself, you know, the more that I talk to other entrepreneurs, like everyone feels the same, you know, nothing is perfect. And it is important to really appreciate how far you've come sometimes.
And how can anybody that wants to be in contact with you, how can they connect you best?
Yeah, so I'm on LinkedIn if you want to find me there, just under Elizabeth Shirley. And I'm also on Instagram, Elizabeth Shirley.
So we'll put both accounts on our show notes, as well as the other things that you mentioned. And I would like to thank you, Elizabeth. It was very interesting that I enjoyed talking with you. And thank you so much for coming and sharing with us a bit of your journey.
Yeah, thank you so much. I really enjoy talking to other entrepreneurs and hope my advice helps.
I'm sure it will. And have a great success.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. And for you, our listeners, until the next time, it all goes down to this. You either reach or miss. Keep reaching your goals and vision. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Reach or Miss Show, the podcast for the customer-focused entrepreneur. You can find all the information, links, and resources that was mentioned at the show in our website, reachormiss.com. See you next week.